Barkley, first of all, happy Thanksgiving to you and to your family, and thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you very much.
You know, you look back on your career and you look at 1,577 wins or whatever it is to date. It's been a lot. And you think about Funnyside and what he's meant to you and to all of those around you and to your barn. When you hear the name Funnyside now, all these years later, what things come to mind?
Well, it was a very happy time. I mean, everything went pretty well with him. He was a nice horse. It's nice when you find one like that and it works out for you. You know, I don't know how to describe it. It's just what you're in the game for.
Well, and now you come back to Churchill Downs here on Saturday afternoon with Tiz the Law, who is undefeated, ultra-talented New York bred, and he shows all the qualities of being that type of horse. When you stand there, you look at the Twin Spires and you look at Tiz the Law, you have to dream of what could be on the first Saturday in May next year, don't you?
I'll see. Yep.
We sure do. What makes him so good?
I don't know. His mother and father, I guess. I thought he was very well put together. We liked him when we saw him up there at the sale. And he's a different type of horse than, say, Funnyside was, because people always want you to compare him, but there wasn't really any comparison of two different types. But I just couldn't fault him anywhere. And I thought if he went within our price range, why, we ought to take a shot at him. And it turned out that he might be pretty good. He's won his first two races rather easily, so we're excited about him.
Yeah, what was it physically that stood out to you when you first started looking at him at the sale?
Well, I mean, I like confirmation that looks sturdy and sound and can last and not be weak and things like that. It's hard to explain it all, but just what everybody looks at, I guess. And he seemed to hit all the qualities I liked, and here he is.
Yeah, here he is. When he won the Champagne last time out, he did it so impressively. What stood out to you most about that performance? What were your thoughts?
Well, he did it just like in his maiden race. He was running along and running along, and always looks like he's in a hack canter. He doesn't even look like he's running fast. And I started screaming for him at the head of the lane, and by the time I glanced again, he was like four in front. So he just does everything so easily. It's a kind of a fun thing and a pleasure to have him, but it's only two races. We got a lot of wood to chop yet. So.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You look at your resume and all those wins and all the greatest stakes victories, and this is not – people will say, okay, Barkley Tag and Sakatoga, they're back on the Derby trail again. Barkley Tag has been on the Derby trail several times since Funnyside. This is nothing new to you. What are some of the things that you've learned over the years as you get a horse ready for a race like the Kentucky Derby, potentially?
Well, like I say, I like a horse that I don't like to run a two-year-old too much. I think if I can get three races in him in the fall of the year, I really feel good about that, and I don't think it puts too much stress on their immature bones and ligaments and all that. It helps them grow. It helps them toughen up. The bones and ligaments, I mean, and things like that. But I think if you run them over and over and over again, I think you do lasting damage to them because they're immature at the time. And I kind of think you have to let them recover from each thing with a little more time than usual. And it's not like the old days now. They've been bred for speed now for the last 50 years, just for speed. And it makes it a lot tougher to get sound horses. But that's what I look for. And if I can get three races in them and space them nicely and not be under too much pressure to win a whole lot of stuff, I just think it gives you a better chance of things. And Jack's a great guy to work for, and he kind of lets us do it the way we think's the right way to do it. And he's interested. I mean, he calls a lot and wants to know what's going on, you know, and things like that, which is all great. When we explain it to him what we're doing, he's always very, very good about it. So it makes it easy to train that way.
Yeah. Will he reserve the yellow school bus if he wins with Tiz the Law on Saturday?
I doubt it.
Hey, look, I'm superstitious. I'm Italian, Barkley. I'm superstitious. I think you got to stick with what worked.
Well, that was. I mean, he had a great group of people then. Jack, I tell you, Jack. I'm not just saying this because we're on the air, but Jack really attracts nice people. I mean, he had a lot of people in that last ownership thing with Funnyside, and everyone was just as nice a person as they could be. And he seems to have the same kind of group this time. I mean, Jack's a really, really good person, a really nice person, and he attracts those kind of people. And they're just, even though they're overwhelming because there's so many of them, they're just all so darn nice that you just can't help liking working for them, I'll tell you. He's a great guy.
You know, Barkley, you talk about being happy that you can get three starts into a two-year-old during their juvenile campaign. How about as a three-year-old? What's your philosophy there in terms of how many starts you would like to have in a horse that's a Derby prospect?
Well, with a Derby prospect, you have to be a little bit careful. I'd like to get two to three races in him before the Derby and feel good about that. Funny, lost his first three races of his three-year-old year, but he showed up big in the Derby and the Preakness. And we just had things just didn't work out right for us at all in the Belmont Stakes. But that's horse racing. He still ran a pretty darn good race, so we can't complain. And I just think three races is enough for him. I mean, it's just if it's a horse I really, really like and think it will have a great future, well, I'd like to get three races if I can in him. And if I can't, I'm not going to worry about it because I don't. I mean, it's hindsight, but I think like Baffert did, even, you know, there's no reason why they have to run in the Derby to be able to, I mean, run as a two-year-old to be able to run in the Derby. It doesn't make any sense, really. But I still think if you can get a couple races under their belt without doing any damage, well, you're a little ahead of the game when you start out as a three-year-old.
Yeah, talking with trainer Barkley Tagg here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Earlier, Barkley, you were talking about that two-year-old campaign and how if you can maybe top it out at three starts, that's a good number because otherwise you can do some lasting damage to horses, especially young horses like that where they're still developing. Are horses different now physically than they were when you first started training? Have you seen a difference there?
Oh, I think so. I think they're a little more delicate now. And like I say, I've been doing this for 50 years, and they're just bred for speed so much now that you know, you just don't see horses running as often and as well as they used to. That's all there is to it. You see some awfully fast horses, but they don't seem to last long most of the time. But I mean, some of that's the campaign they put them in, and some of it's the breeding. But it's a tough thing to work your way through, and. When you win right off the bat with a two-year-old, of course, everybody wants to go on with him, and it's hard to say, no, we're going to go slow and just do a couple more races and things like that. But I think in the long run, you're better off that way if you think you can have a future horse that way.
Yeah, I love the patience you showed with this horse, too, after he won the Champagne. I guess you could have gone right to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, but you opt to come here instead. How come? What was that decision all about?
Well, like I say, I like to put some space between our races, and I was fortunate enough here to get him his first race in him. I think it was around the 8th of August. And funny side, I got all three of his in the fall, but this one came early, so I thought I could space him out well. And we did. I thought we spaced him out very well, but the Breeders' Cup would have kind of been in the way, and it would have required running him back rather quickly after the Champagne. And, you know, it's a big ship out to California. It's a big, big day for a big few days for a young horse. And, you know, I didn't like the goings-on about the track out there. I'm not so sure it wasn't the track because it was causing most of the trouble or anything else. And like I say, I've always gotten along great with the Stronachs. I think the world of them, and I've trained for them and everything else. But I just don't like all the liberal stuff that's going on out there, and I didn't want to get embroiled in it, and it gave me another excuse besides the fact I didn't want to run him back that quickly.
Yeah.
So this way has let me space everything out really well. So.
Where will Tis the Law spend the winter?
In Palm Meadows with us.
Okay. Yeah. Great spot to be.
Jack's very good about that, too. Even though he likes New York breds, and that's what he wants is New York breds, he's very good about taking them south and freshening them and getting them legged up down there and ready to go again without having to fight the cold weather and the wet tracks and the frozen ground and stuff like that. He's very good about that kind of stuff.
Do you even let yourself think about what it might be like to hand Jack the Derby trophy again on the first Saturday in May next year? Do you even think that far ahead?
I won't be able to get it out of his hands, let alone have it to hand to him. No, I'm just kidding. But it'd be nice.
I've had so many
it's
trainers.
It's all pretty premature, though. It's a long way to the Derby.
It is. No, you're not kidding. It certainly is. There's a lot of, as you said, a lot of work left to do between now and then. And you hate to even talk about it because it is so far away. But, you know, a lot of trainers have told me, Barkley, that when you get there and you win it, it's almost like a drug. You want that feeling again. You want to get back there even more than you did before. Is that true?
That's for sure. Yeah, that's for sure.
Wow. Well, Barkley Tagg here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Well Barkley, look, always enjoyable to catch up with you. And Tis the Law looking like the real deal at this point. All the best with him and today in the Kentucky Jockey Club and then moving forward throughout his three-year-old campaign. And I'll look forward to catching up with you when we make it down to Florida later this year.
All right.